Thanks, John, for that. Now, a couple of comments coming into us today. Why do farmers have to get subsidy? That was never the case years ago. We lived on the land and stock wasn't as dear as it is. And also, Keith, why has Drew Harris gone out to bring the Kinahan Group taxpayers, bringing them back? The whole drug lord situation is wrong. And Keith, next week on Tuesday, the 12th of September at 11 a.m, we're holding an open day and coffee morning at the Galway Community Training Centre in Lisbon Estate. And we'll be welcoming Mayor Eddie Hoare to our centre for a show around for him, just to see what we do here for the youth of the community. That comes from Vicky Donnelly, General Manager of Galway CTC. Ask Galway County Council to put up signs to say it's one way in Athenry, and that would help the situation. Another caller said the Athenry disruption needs much more airplay. The problem that has presented did not come across this morning. The people in the estates were not given any directions in advance. Going into town is crazy. And Keith, a big issue with the government's proposal is that it's up to local authorities. Can it be enforced universally? It'll take over a year to be introduced gradually. And other calls coming in there to us today. Patricia Hines joins me on the line. Patricia, morning to you.
Very good morning to you, Keith.
What have you got for us from Employment Services today?
Okay, lots there for your listeners this morning, Keith. And first off, we have a position for a talent acquisition specialist with a recruitment company here in Galway City. This job will involve carrying out detailed sourcing plans for each role, building up a steady candidate pipeline on multiple projects, and carrying out telephone screening calls with suitable candidates and setting up interviews with recruitment account managers. Also this morning, Keith, we have a number of retail assistant positions with a retail store here in Galway City. Full and part-time positions are available, and successful candidates will be provided with on-the-job training. Now, we're also looking for an executive scientist for a government department here in the city. The executive scientist will work as part of a multidisciplinary team and will be responsible for delivering regulatory enforcement and awareness activities in environmental protection, including aspects in litter management, water quality, air quality, climate action, and biodiversity energy. Now, this role requires comprehensive knowledge and understanding of current environmental legislation and how it relates to local authority functions. We are also looking for school wardens for Galway City and currently have a number of positions across the city, serving 11 primary schools, which have to be manned every day to ensure the safe passage of school children to and from the school. Now, this position requires the warden to have excellent interpersonal and communication skills and an ability to work on their own initiative in an independent environment. Also this morning, we are recruiting for a director of nursing for a company here in the city. Applicants should be a registered general nurse on the register of nurses held by on board alternates, and applicants should also have a minimum of 3 years postgraduate experience in gerontology with a minimum of 2 years experience in care of the older person. Now, we also have a role for an IT manager with a restaurant here in the city as well this morning, and this particular job will involve overseeing and maintaining and troubleshooting all the IT systems within the restaurant, including tills, ordering systems and communication tools. And applicants should have a bachelor's degree in information technology, computer science or a related field. And applicants should have proficiency in Dropbox administration, including user management and data organisation. And last for call out this morning, Keith, we are recruiting for a stock controller with a branded bargain store here in Galway City. This particular job will involve providing a high level of customer service and general upkeep of the shop floor. And on-the-job training will also be provided. Now, as always, Keith, further information, application for all our jobs this morning. And indeed, we're open to applications from any employers out there currently recruiting. All our contact details can be found on jobsireland.ie.
Thank you, Patricia, and have a good and safe week, and we'll talk to you next week. Patricia Hines joining us from Employment Services. Dave McCarthy from McCarthy & Associates sits opposite me today. Dave, morning to you. How are you today?
Very well, Keith.
It's a busy time. There's a lot happening, so there is. And the good news coming in is that credit unions will be able to offer mortgages in the near future. How long is this going to take, do you reckon?
I don't really know how long it's going to take. I don't think it's going to take too long, but it's legislation that has to go through. And I suppose the financial world and the banking world in particular, as you know, is suffered dramatically from departures from this country. And, you know, anybody out there who thinks that new institutions are going to come into this country except to for select parts of the market is deluding themselves. Mm. The biggest, I suppose, alternative to the three banks, obviously, that's sitting on our doorstep is the credit union movement. And, you know, they have offices throughout the country. There's a natural network. I know they're different credit unions in different places. They have their own structure. But I think credit unions have an enormous role to play going forward.
And they have so much money on deposit
exactly.
in the pillar banks. Why can't they take that out and make money on
exactly.
that?
Exactly. That's exactly what this is about. But in fairness, I think they should be allowed to expand their services far more than they already have.
Yeah.
And become, you know, if you're not a bank, we don't want that. I've seen how that can go pear-shaped in the past, you know, going back many years, my old alma mater, which used to be the Trustee Savings Bank, you know, they lost their ethos, and that's history. But I would say credit unions have a great role to play. They're very well thought of, and they're not tarnished with a lot of the scandals and problems that have happened with the banks. Yes, individual credit unions have had their own problems, and they need re-regulation to tighten their systems and all of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, all of that is, any problems aside, it's a network that's there, and the more services they're allowed to offer, the better.
All right. But again, just, I mean, we had the Irish League of Credit Unions on recently, and we spoke about this. They need to be treated with respect, the credit unions, rather than the banks dictating to others to put pressure on the credit unions to not let, because the story was that they had 30 or 40 billion apparently on deposit, and they offered it to the government for social housing, but apparently the banks said no, they can't do that. So there are all sorts of allegations that are out there, but the credit unions need to be respected.
But look, I'll just make one statement here, and it's an absolute fact. Anything that the banks say or do is always in their own interest.
Yeah.
So it's been proven time and time and time again. Yes, we need banks. There's no question of that. But when it comes to policy decisions and that, it's always in their own interest. And anybody who thinks otherwise, that they're acting as some sort of community, I don't know, fairy godmother. Well, that's never will be the case.
I went into my bank to transfer money to another institution, and they gave me the once over about what I was doing. I was really mad. It's my money, and what can I do about this?
This is something that I know I've been contacted about on a number of occasions when somebody tries to move money maybe into a different institution or whatever.
I thought
it is.
The banks didn't want money in institutions anymore.
It's very funny, Keith. In one sense, they don't really want the deposit, but they don't want it leaving either. Okay, so what they want you to do is they want you to move it into something that they are going to offer you, say if it's an investment, and that's what happened in this case, right? And then they're also trying to put doubts in somebody's mind, because you've got somebody at a counter who you're moving it to, I don't know, Barclays Bank and whatever it is, a normal account as part of an investment you're making, whatever it is. And you've got some muppet, I'm saying this with all due respect now, but muppets at the counter who has no idea what it is you're doing, but is putting doubts in your mind, you know, are you sure this isn't spam? Is it this? Is it that? And there is a motive behind it, and that is, the motive is that they're told and they're instructed to try to sell products, and they do anything they can. If somebody's moving 40,000, 50,000, to put a doubt in their mind so that they retain the money, and then they try to sell them a product.
But hang on a second, that person is trying to make a living as well and put food on the table, working in the bank. So if that's what they've been told to do, that's their job.
Well, that's their job, but it's the pressure that they're under. But that's where the conflict comes in, right? That's their job, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with what they're doing.
I wouldn't call them Muppets now.
I don't mean to be derogatory. I take that back.
To the Muppets or the bank? Go on.
No, the reason I'm just saying it is because very often you have people who are saying things across the counter to a customer who's just going in to do their normal everyday business, and it can become maddening for that customer when they're treated like this and somebody's trying to put them off doing a transaction, which is their decision to do, is their money, and, you know, sometimes trying to protect us from ourselves can be an insulting thing.
Okay. An interesting one came across the desk today. I was at Electric Picnic at AIB, froze my debit card. When I rang on Monday, they caused me real problems. They told me that it was because they wanted me to verify transactions and said they sent me a text to reply to, but I have no recollection of the text. And even if I did, who in their right mind would reply to it? with all the spam that we're getting at this stage. I suppose the bank were just being really cautious at this one.
Yes, but it's the system, it's the problem. I actually spoke to that person. They rang me. And, you know, they found themselves stuck. If anybody's been Electric Picnic, it's cashless up there, most of the stores. So they found themselves in a right stew when the bank all of a sudden decided to block their card because the transactions that they were doing. They said they never got a text message or recollect getting it. But the other issue is, and this person rang the bank and was very annoyed over what happened. And the issue that they were making actually was, who in their right mind is replying to these kind of text messages when we're getting so many fraudulent ones coming through on our phone about anything to do with our finances? And the bank, and the person in the bank told them, oh yeah, but it came from a mobile number. That makes you even more nervous. Mm. So I suppose what needs to happen here is if the banks need to develop a system, and it's their responsibility, of how they contact you if there's a problem with your card or they suspect that
what,
there is.
What about ringing you? But then you mightn't answer the phone.
This is more of it. Like, see, the problem here is that the phone has become an unreliable source of communication for these things.
Yeah.
Because the spammers...
But you wouldn't be checking emails at Electric Picnic.
No, you wouldn't, no. The spammers have taken over. But whatever they need to do, and it's not my role or your role to explain or tell them what route they should go to warn people. That's their responsibility. We live in a phenomenally creative technological world, and they should find some other way, or whatever it is, of maybe also maybe finding better protection for people's cards, that they don't have to contact them. But you can understand, and I can understand the annoyance of this person. You know, would I respond to a text message from a bank with all the stuff that we get? I know personally I get 3 or 4 of them a week. I don't respond to any of them.
All right. Again, I think the bank were trying to do it, and I can see the other person's point of view as well, but there you go. I'm 64 years of age and have a life policy that has increased in cost over the last 2 years. Would it be worth my while to look at getting alternative cover from another company? I doubt you'll get it.
Not at 64 years of age. You might get it, but it's going to be ferociously expensive. So whenever you took out the policy that you have, you were obviously at least reasonably younger. It doesn't say when you took it out. But no, look, I mean, at that stage of your life, unless it's a policy that you have to have because of your financial circumstances, but if it's to keep it on, just keep it on, pay the premium for as long as it's in effect. The only thing that a person might be worried about, and it doesn't say here, is sometimes these are whole life policies where the premium isn't guaranteed and it can get older as you get older. But as regards shopping around, no. Sorry, listener, you're past that age of doing that.
All right. Dave McCarthy of McCarthy & Associates of Mode Key, 566022. Thank you indeed for joining us today on the programme. Quick commercial break, and we're back just after these. Now, very good morning to you. 26 minutes past 11 on this Wednesday morning. We're with you right through until 12 midday. Well, the 27th annual Barbaro Festival was launched last evening. If you're listening to the 8 o'clock news, Leah, our colleague in the newsroom, was down there talking to young people and talking about the Irish language as well. Aislinn Ahocha joins me, Executive Artistic Director, and she sits opposite me to you. Aislinn, good morning to you. How are you today?
Good morning, Keith. I'm great, thank you.
Good to see you again. It's hard to believe it's 27 years of the Children's Festival.
It sure is. But it's joyous that it's thrived, I suppose. And
it has, yeah, from humble beginnings.
Yeah, and that it goes on from strength to strength, and we're meeting more and more children from more and more diverse communities every year, so it's brilliant. And what's lovely to see as well is parents who remember coming to the festival as children, bringing their own children now, you know, and some of the artists as well who feature in the festival have perhaps experience and memories of going to see shows and being inspired.
That's
what they saw.
No more than some of the other festivals that we have that we spoke about during the week, actually. Barbaro is very unique because it is dedicated to children.
That's right. Yeah. It's everything we do is about children. And for children, ultimately, even if we're supporting artists, for example, we're supporting over 40 different artists this year in their practice to make work for children. But ultimately, it's also that we have fantastic shows and creative opportunities for children in Galway. And, you know, we are, aside from Belfast Children's Festival, we're the only dedicated and the largest festival for children in Ireland, and really well recognised around the world. So we are very lucky in Galway to have Barbaro, and we're thankful to the founders for having the vision 27 years ago.
But if you take about a Galway International Arts Festival, Galway Races, Barbaro, if you take all of those massive events that we bring to Galway, and many more of them as well. A lot of them, they'd say, it takes Film Flat, all unique to Galway.
Absolutely, yeah.
So Galway really is punching above its weight in every aspect of the arts.
Absolutely, yeah. There's something in the water, I think, Keith. Yeah. And it is, and I think growing up in that kind of environment, you know, it really enriches people and our community, you know. Mm. And whether you end up pursuing a career in the arts or not, the arts is great just in terms of your well-being and your enjoyment and your, you know, I was talking last night, I suppose, about how children are really growing up in all of us are in really quite bewildering times at the moment. You know, things are difficult. There's a lot of bad news, unfortunately, but there are also wonderful things to celebrate, and the arts are a great way of exploring kind of difficult topics and subjects and figuring out as a child and a young person some of the challenges and how we find our place in the world, I suppose, and what kind of person we want to be.
So would you say then that a lot of and the programme is beautiful again this year, and ticket prices are so low as well, would you see it as being part of education then, really?
Every production
sows another seed in that young head.
That's it. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that art should have to teach us something, and that there doesn't always have to be a moral lesson. Having said that, it's a great way of learning about the world and learning about ourselves in the world, and also forging empathy. You know, we're hearing a lot at the moment, I think, about the lack of empathy in a lot of people, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of violence and, you know, crime and as I say, we are living through difficult times. So every time that we read a book or see a painting or see a show that maybe transports us or gives us a little glimmer into somebody else's life and their some of the issues that they might be dealing with, I think that all increases our capacity to be empathetic to other people, which is so important at the moment. And also, I suppose children are inherently creative. We're all creative beings. Mm. As we grow older, sometimes some people pursue that path, some people don't. But I think encouraging children to be creative, to think outside the box, to approach things from different angles is really, really valuable, particularly, you know, in the whole conversation around AI and what the jobs are of our current children are going to be in 20 years' time. You know, it's all really, really important. So Galway is set up really well, actually, in that regard. I think we're going to be very resilient because we have a lot of creative people living here.
We do. And you have a lot of creative people working with you on this.
Yes.
And the launch went well last night. The launch was in Bonham Quay.
It was fabulous, yeah. Edward Capital hosted us in Bonham Quay wonderfully. It's a great facility right on the docks there. So we were we took over the reception of the building yesterday evening. It was a beautiful building, a beautiful evening, should I say. So we had a lot of families and supporters there. And I'm really excited that we're actually going to have some events there. In the space where Genesis have their beautiful offices on the seventh floor with amazing views over the city and
beautiful,
the bay,
yeah.
We're going to have a session in Oak, in an unusual spot, I suppose. So it's taking a session into kind of a corporate setting with this beautiful view. I think it's going to be really fun. And that's a session, I suppose, where it's just an opportunity for children to play together and to play with their parents. All they need to bring is an instrument and a couple of focal. And for a lot of children who are learning but don't necessarily get to sit down and play with their peers, it's a really lovely thing. So that's being led by two music teachers, Breda Kevill and Cormac Cannon. So that'll be a really lovely event as part of the festival. And then we also have a flip book workshop. So it's making a flip book kind of animation with Joseph Orr. And that was something actually that was inspired by our children's council, our children's panel, should I say, which was 14 young children who are really helping us to shape the programme and to shape how we work. And some of them were there with us last night, and they're really fantastic group of children they come to the festival. There are kind of festival critics, and then they work with various parts of the team to all year round, as I say, and they feed into what we're doing. So this was one of their requests, was around making a flipbook. So we'll.
But as you know, your tickets are not on sale yet. They're going on sale at 6:30 tonight.
That's right. Yeah. So we're doing it a little bit differently this year. So we announced the programme last night, and we wanted to give people, I suppose, a few hours to pursue, peruse the programme, decide what is going to suit them. And so the tickets will go on sale at 6:30 this evening on bobborough.ie, and also from the Town Hall box office. So if people have any queries, they can phone the Town Hall. That number is
091-569-7777.
That's right.
We could set up a band altogether.
We could.
091-569-777. But when I opened, because the first time I saw the brochure was right now this morning, but on page 3 of it there, you're saying to us, every child has the right, but not every child has the opportunity. Isn't that a lovely mission statement to have?
Yes, yeah, yeah. And it's so true, you know. Mm. So as you know, Keith, Bobborough was founded, I suppose, just after the UN Rights of the Child was ratified by Ireland. And so there are several rights in there, and some of those around participation and leading a rich cultural life. And as I say, it is so important, particularly when children are very young as well, and they're all the synapses are fusing and forming. But not, of course, not every child has the opportunity. And that was one of the reasons, I suppose, that Bobborough moved from its origins in the summer festival to a place in October, so that children could come through their schools, and schools' audience are really important to us. And it means that we're not necessarily relying on parents to have the time or the money or the inclination to bring their children.
You're letting the school facilitate that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But of course, lots of people love coming with their families as well. And we are still fundraising to be able to support those children and to be able to offer free events.
Yeah. I mean, the ticket prices are £6.50 and £5.50. I mean, and
for children in school, yes.
Yeah,
that's right.
In school, I mean, you're talking about small money. But I mean, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at Origami Club, Origami in their Fall and Float. Wait a Minute is a lovely looking production there as well. Polar Bear and the Penguin. They look like right two polar bears and penguins, don't they?
They do. Unlikely friends.
They do, don't they? But again, it's again, given that you know, given the subtle storyline there, you've got acrobatics in there. You've got an aunt called Amy, which
that's
is...
That's right.
A-N-T, not A-U-N-T, called Amy, Where the Moon Spun Around. Again, there's so much in there, really, isn't there?
There really is. And I suppose we try to create a program where there's something for everyone, Keith, you know, and whether you're into dance or theatre or the visual art or getting your hands dirty at a workshop, books, you know, we try to offer opportunities for everybody, I suppose. And I would also, you know, as Niamh Cronin from Cúil na Cathair, who officially launched the programme last night, was saying, you know, she would encourage people to try something new. That's the brilliant thing about a festival.
It gives
you permission to try something that maybe you wouldn't ordinarily give a go of. And so there are a few really fun elements that I'd like to point out. One is we have a kind of a madcap exhibition in Galway Arts Centre called I See You Like This, but the exhibition hasn't been created yet, and we need Galway families to come and help us create the exhibition. So an Australian artist called Jessica Wilson is coming, and she's got really loads of experience in kind of participative arts with children. And so she's inviting children to their significant adult to book an appointment to be part of this exhibition. And when you think about how we interact with children and how we through our phones are constantly taking photos and asking children to smile and to look this way, look that way, Jessica turns the camera and gives the children control of the photographing process. So what she'll do is, if you book one of these appointments, which will happen the week before the festival, but you can book them from 6:30 this evening, you'll have a private appointment with Jessica. They'll have a chat, and a chat to your child really about how your child really sees you. And often we're so busy being parents and organising play dates and getting people to piano lessons that we don't maybe stop and think about how our child actually perceives us. So they'll have that chat. She'll have all these weird and wonderful objects that you can kind of decorate and create this madcap portrait that will be photographed by Julia Doonan, who's a wonderful portrait photographer, and we'll print those and they will be available as part of the exhibition. Wow. And then we'll give them to the family at the end of the festival. So that's something that's going to be really fun to get involved in. And then we have our Bobbaro commission this year is called The Shape of Quiet Feelings. Mm. And our artist in residence, Maisie Lee, has worked with Jessica Wilson, actually the same artist, over Zoom for the past year, creating this this kind of immersive installation that has a lot of voices and opinions and imaginings of Galway children through the children's panel and also many schools around. And that was really asking children how they feel about the climate emergency and climate change, yeah. Because we know that they're absorbing the news and a lot of them are quite worried about what's happening, but not maybe feeling very empowered. So this is kind of giving expression, I suppose, to those feelings. And we hope that people will come away and families will come away maybe feeling a little bit more empowered about what solutions they can come up with and what they can do in their day-to-day lives.
So if they want to get further details, the Bobbaro box offices or the Bobbaro website's there for them. And again, just will you spell it for them again?
So babbaro.ie.
babbaro.ie and THT.ie after 6:30 today.
That's right. So I would advise people to check out the programme, tell their neighbours, tell their grannies, tell their teachers. Because we're in touch, obviously, with a lot of schools, but not every school yet comes. So if your school isn't coming, make sure to let them know.
Super. The one that caught my eye altogether is the boy who talked to dogs.
Yes.
Young Martin is a misfit, bullied at school and misunderstood at home. His only comfort comes from sneaking off to the family coal shed to bond with his German shepherds. When things reach breaking point, the 13-year-old runs away from home and is taken in by a new family, a pack of stray dogs. That's
yeah,
lovely.
Fascinating. True story.
70 minutes of production of Blackbox, yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's a true collaboration, I suppose, across the seas because it's an Irish and Australian company who've created it. Brian Burroughs is an Irish actor, but it's an Australian company. And again, they pulled it all off during the pandemic, which is incredible.
All right, so you can go to the website as of 6:30 this evening or go to THT as of 6:30 this evening. Aisling, good to have you in the studio and we'll be talking to you right through the festival. And kickoff date again for the festival is
the 13th, so it's running the 13th to the 22nd of October. So we're sticking with 10 days again this year. So there will be two weekends for families to take in lots of, so you can come back again and again, and we'll also have evening and weekday afternoon productions.
All right, 13th to the 22nd. Aisling, thank you indeed for joining us. Quick commercial break. We're back just after these. Now we're going to music, because Coolahan co-headlines a show in Galway City on Sunday, and it's taking place, so it is, in 7 in Bridge Street in Galway. I'll give you details of that. But morning to you. How are you?
Not too bad, no, Keen, yourself.
I said to him when he came in, which one of the Coolahans are you? So I know all the stock on both sides, on your mother's side and on your dad's side as well. Congratulations to you. The gene is in you, so it is. The music gene is in the Coolahan family.
Yes, I had no choice, really.
No choice. When did you start music?
I started playing when I was four years old. Yeah, I picked up the guitar.
That's about 10 years ago, is it?
It is, yeah. It's coming up on over 20 now.
And listen to, so I mean, this is a big gig for Sunday for you.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's a co-headline, a double bill thing that I'm doing with a friend of mine called Dwayne Haggins, who's an artist from Boston. So he's currently in Dublin Airport. He's just after arriving, and wow, he's starting his tour in Lahinch, and then I think he's doing Listunvarna and one or two other places, and then it's culminating in the show with me on Sunday. So he's here with his whole band.
Wow. And talk to me about your music. I mean, you know, is it unique to you, the music that you play?
Yeah, definitely. Stuff that I'm doing now at the minute is all my own stuff. You know, I write and record it all myself. It's something that I started doing maybe when I was about 15. I was a big fan of Ed Sheeran, actually. He was the guy who started me off writing stuff and singing, really, to be honest. And I was playing the guitar for about 10 years before that on its own and never opened my mouth. So,
wow.
So, yeah.
You're going to play a bit of music for us. What are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play one of my own songs called Don't Worry. Okay. It's a track off my debut EP.
Do you know what we might do? We might do that now and then we can keep talking up to the top of the hour then from
there.
In your own time. Coolahin.
There's a ponytail-shaped hole in my heart. The going will get a little rough before it starts. It'll all work out in the end, so don't you worry. Beating like a drum from afar. Late night loving in the front seat of my car. I'll tell you how I feel someday soon, so don't you worry. Find the words to say to you. I'm terrified of what might come to pass. So pour your blue into my eyes, so I know for sure that I don't need to worry. Lost for many years, but now I'm found. City lights ricochet off the clouds. Just hold my heavy head in your arms. Tell me not to worry. I can never find the words to say to you. Terrified of what might come to pass. Pour your blue into my eyes, so I know for sure that I don't need, that I don't need, that I don't need to worry.
Lovely, gorgeous. Well done. Lovely tone to wow.
Thank you.
That's a lovely surprise at this hour of the morning, I have to say. Thank you. So the concert then itself is taking place, 7 Bridge Street, 5 to 7 Bridge Street, next Sunday, 8 p.m. is kick-off.
Yes, doors are opening at 8 p.m. and I'm hoping to go on first at maybe around 20 past 8.
Maybe your friend has other ideas. Maybe
my friend has other ideas. I have to fight him for it. Maybe.
Have you been to America working with him?
I haven't yet, but I'm hoping to get over at some stage next year.
Yeah.
Over to Boston for a few days and do a few gigs over there.
Yeah, you'd enjoy it, yeah. You have a great future ahead of you. You really have.
Well, thanks
very much. Are you immersed in music now, or are you working elsewhere as well?
Yeah. I'm doing music full-time now for nearly 10 years. Full-time, wow. Yeah. So
it's a tough industry, but you have it.
It is, but it's worth it.
You have to
do what I love. And
yeah, you get up every morning to do it, yeah.
That's it, bright and early.
Listen, well done to you. Thanks, Dean, for joining us. So if they want to get further details, it's Coolhan, C-O-L-O-H-A-N. And have you a website somebody wants to know that and get further details?
Yeah, it's the website is iamcoolhan.com.
I-A-M-C-O-L-O-H-A-N. .com for further details there, yeah. Good luck to you. And have you CDs and all that type, have you all music out there currently?
Yeah, so if anyone wants to have a listen to any of my stuff, you can get it on YouTube, Spotify, anywhere on Google, really. All the usual streaming sites.
Just put in Coolhan from there.
Just put in Coolhan and I should come up somewhere.
Yeah, listen, well done to you. You're a fine young man. You come from a fine family. In regards to both sets of families, the Dooleys and the Coolhans. And thanks for popping into us today.
Thanks for having me, Keith. Thank you.
Now, tomorrow morning, the programme, by the way, we're looking at some new measures to fight invasive species. We're looking for blood donations in Galway. It's the fine weather and back to school has hit the blood bank badly there. The farmers are to be paid for carbon removal by early 2026, as the EU has voted in favour of that. The Galway Volunteer Centre is inviting the public to nominate volunteers for a national award there as well. We'll be joined by Anne McKeown. So if you want to get your questions into us, just send them to comments@galwaybayfm.ie. That's comments@galwaybayfm.ie. So that's for Anne McKeown. Ours to Protect, John is looking at that tomorrow in the 11 o'clock hour. Hector joins us as well in studio because he's been to the Philippines and the Solomons as well. And we'll have the Connacht Tribune headlines with Dave McCarthy. So it's a fairly busy programme tomorrow. But if you want to get in contact or you have a story to bring to us as well, we will go back to the Athenry situation. If we can get clarity from the County Council on that, we'll try and get back to the that whole situation tomorrow morning on the programme. That is it though for today. Thank you to all involved in the programme, including our guests indeed, and somebody just sent in a lovely text from, that's a lovely song, Keith. I look forward to seeing Coolhan in action on Sunday night, 8 o'clock, get there good and early. Thanks to John Morley, who produced. Thanks to all of your comments, but to all of our guests and to you, the public indeed, and our listeners for sending in questions, queries, and questioning us as well, questioning me as well. Thank you for being there each and every morning. Until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, we'll give you details of the Menlo programme, which is coming from the Menlo Park on Friday morning. Give you full details on that tomorrow morning. Have a good and safe Wednesday. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.